إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فإني أحمد الله سبحانه وتعالى على ما من به علينا من نعم كثيرة، وأحمده على هذا اللقاء الطيب المبارك الذي نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن ينفعنا به عامة وخاصة الشباب، لأن الموضوع عن أهمية الشباب في الإسلام ودورهم في الإسلام. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we praise Him for His endless bounties upon us. And one of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fact that He has made it easy for us to gather once again in a class like of this one, in which we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it beneficial gathering for all of us in general, but especially for our youth. Since this talk, inshaAllah ta'ala, is for them, is for the youth. So this is the topic, advices for our youth. هذا الموضوع ذو أهمية كبيرة وقد تكلم فيه علماؤنا كثيرا في على ضوء ما جاء في كتاب الله وفي سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فجزاهم الله خيرا. This is a very important topic. First, we have to say, is very important matter and topic and subject. The youth. And many of our scholars of the past or of the present times, they have written and they have given so many advices to the youth in the light of the ayats in the Quran and the sound narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which tells us about the importance of this topic. فالحديث مع الشباب ومخاطبة الشباب والتغول في همومهم وقضاياه في غاية الأهمية. Now, whenever a matter like this, on a topic like this, on a subject like this comes, talking to the youth, addressing their concerns, trying to understand what they go through. Because sometimes we grown up, even though we pass through this phase and this stage, but some of us, it seems like we forget what it looks like to be a teenager. And that's why some of us cannot relate to their issues, to their concerns, and how they see things, and how they want to do things. So whenever this topic is addressed, whenever you have a dialogue and conversation with any of the youth, this is going to bring a lot of concerns. It's going to bring a lot of issues. You got to keep this in mind. It's going to bring issues, it's going to bring a lot of topics of extreme importance. Those issues are very important. At least for them, for the youth, they are very important. وتبرز أهمية هذا الموضوع لأسباب عدة منها ما يلي. And the importance of this matter and this topic, addressing the youth, talking to them, have a conversation with them, be concerned with them, trying to know their issues, what they go through, their problems and the like, is very important. Not just for the parents, that's their primary role, but also for the family members, the community, the school, the neighborhood, anyone that come in contact with a young person, whether it be he or she, male or female, they will have an influence on them. Some parents they neglect the education of their youth when they were children. They neglect them. And they think that just making sure that they have a nice place to live and nice bedroom with a nice bed and nice desk and has his own computer in there and nice sneakers, clothing, top of the lines, they eat good. Of course, mashallah, these are good things. But what is the education? What is the focus on their hearts, on their concerns, trying to understand what they want, what they want to achieve? Some parents, they neglect this. Or maybe some parents, they don't have it. They just don't know what it takes to educate a child. No, some parents, they don't have it. This is a very important matter. Education is not for anybody. Don't you see, not anybody can be a teacher. People have to learn, have to be certified. And still among those who learn and study and certify, still, some of them, they have no clue how and what it takes to raise generations to be righteous. And now when we're talking about the youth, of course, I'm talking about the Muslims. As Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he says, we're not going to talk about the non-Muslim youth because it will be defeating the purpose. Because them, all they know is live, follow their desires, and have it their way. But now I'm talking to Muslims, who they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they believe in the last day, in the Jannah and the hellfire, and they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, has sent to them a message and a messenger, our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the path to success, the path that leads to the Jannah clear, and made the path that leads to hellfire and destruction and ruin clear as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us against the shaitan, against temptation, desires and the like. So I'm talking to Muslims, who they know one day they're going to die and they're going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes the parents are busy. There is so many ways. Shaykh Muhammad bin Ramzan al-Hajiri, hafidhahullah, when he was talking about the problems of the youth and facing the youth and how certain youth, they start acting up, they be disrespectful to their parents. They don't want to come in the masjid, that become difficult for them to pray or to read the Quran. Rather, they want to listen to music, they want to go in the street, they want to hang with their friends. He says, why? Why these youth are doing this? He says, three reasons. There are reasons that have to do with him as a person, how he was brought up and the like, and how he thinks. These manners, his manners and character. And then there are reasons that has to do with his family members, the family that he grew up in, the household, the house, the parents, the father and mother. Were they a good example for him? That home, that youth now who's giving them hard time, whether it be a boy or a girl, when he was 2 years old, 3, 5, 6, 7. What was going on in that home? Is it Islam? Is it Quran? Is it Sunnah? Is it the manners of Al-Islam? Or was it anything? And then the third thing is that the society and the neighborhood that that child lives in has a great impact and influence on the upbringing of the children. A child is like a dough. You know the dough that they make the bread from? That's the same example. The young child, when he was born, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, they don't know much. They don't know anything. It's like that fresh dough. As long as it's fresh, you can shape it, right or wrong. You can make it long, you can make it square, you can cut it, you can make it any way you want it. But once you cook it and it's hard, can you do something else with it? Can't. Now you're stuck with that. Likewise, certain people, they neglect their children until they become a teenager, and they already set up on one way or different way that most of the time are not the proper ways. Now all of a sudden now, the parents want to do something about it. Another example. A child is like a tree. You know when you plant this apple tree or orange tree or peach tree or nice tree, you bring it and put it in your backyard or front yard. When it's little, very like 1 foot, 2 foot, 3 feet, if you see it going crooked to the right, to the left, what do you do? What do you do? Huh? The tree. You put a tree, and now it's going to the right, to the left, crooked. What do? Yes. Yeah.
Oh, you straighten it, you put some stuff.
Ascent. You straighten it up. How old are you?
11.
11. MashaAllah. He's 11, and he knows what's going on. We parents, we know what's going on. He's 11. Yeah, he says he has the right answer. He said, if you see it going crooked, and you want it to be straight, what you do? You straighten it up. What's your name?
Hassan.
Hassan. Jazakallah khairan, akhi Hassan. Barakallahu fi. Our 11-year-old Hassan taught us something today. See? When you talk to the children and the youth and the teenager, we learn from them as well. He says, yes, you straighten it up by putting something. Like what? Something that is strong. Now, you.
Like string?
Maybe a strong string or...
A strong rope to straighten it up. So it's straight.
A stick.
Yes.
And you put a stick in the ground, strong stick, so that can be straight?
It's the same thing with kids.
Same thing with kids. And how old are you?
13.
What's your name?
Abdurrahman.
Okay, it's the same thing. You're saying the same thing with kids. Go ahead, I'm listening to you.
Yes, you have to raise the kids in order to become great people.
He's saying that we have to raise. No, he said we have. He's 13. We have to raise kids
in order for them
to be great people and having a good future. Go ahead, Abdurrahman.
Ahsan.
He said if you give them a good upbringing and education, it become easy for you to handle them. Allahu Akbar.
Yes,
I agree with you. Yes, too. I'm saying another yes. Yes, your yes and my yes.
Also, if they have a little brother, they can also be a good influence to them.
Allahu Akbar. See, that's what I'm talking about. Now that, if you work, see, what he's saying, if the parents work on the first child and give him a good education, alhamdulillah, now they're not going to do much work on the next one. Why? Because that next one, he always spent a lot of time with the first one. And if the first one, he's learning Qur'an, reciting the Qur'an, the little brother is going to pick up. Right or wrong, Abdurrahman? But if they neglect the first one and they lead him to computer, music, games, of course, his little brother is going to follow his path, right?
Yes.
Ahsan. Jazakallah khair. Now we're going to mention some of the reasons why this topic is very important. أولاً أهمية مرحلة الشباب. This stage, because we human, we have different stages. The first stage, we're in the womb of our mothers, which we, at that time, we have no clue what it is. We don't know. Until the mother start talking about it to the father, and, oh yeah, I feel something, maybe I'm pregnant. Then start kicking on the light. That's the first stage. The second stage, when we were born. Then another stage when we were young, youth, teenagers. And that's what we're talking about. This stage is very important stage and very critical. مرحلة الشباب تعد مرحلة مهمة من العمر فهي مرحلة القوة والعنفوان والتوقد الذهني وغيرها. Why is it so important this stage? Because it is a stage of strength. Because the young boys or the young girls, they're strong, they become strong now. And also, it is a stage of prime. They have their prime, haftiness, self-importance. They see themselves that I'm important in this house. A 14 years old in the house is not like 4 years old. 4 years old, you can tell him, sit down, drink your milk. And he's going to drink his milk. Now you're going to talk to the 14 years old the same way? No. Now the 14 years old, he's like, listen, man, I'm 15, I'm 16. He's going to tell me, drink milk? I drink milk when I want to drink milk. You cannot tell a 15, 16, get your cereal now. He's like, man, I want a tuna sandwich. I don't want a cereal now. But you can tell that to a 7-year-old, 6-year-old. Okay, get your cereal. Get your banana. Finish your apple now. Eat your vegetables. And they'll do it. With a smile. Teenagers, because now they have ideas. And they start thinking, man, I know what's good for me. You see? And they think they know what's good for them. Sometimes they may know, some other time they may not. Likewise, the youth, it is the time when their intelligence, they use their intelligence, they use their brain a lot, they start thinking about a lot of things. Now they play, they want to play, but in the same time they start thinking and reasoning. They become smart, and they are brilliant. Yes, they're smart. But some of us, we kill that brilliance that they have. Because we're not listening to them, we're not talking to them. We don't even want to listen to them and see if they have something to say. وقد صح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال لا تزول قدم عبد حتى يسأل عن أربع عن عمره فيما أفناه وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه الحديث. In a sound hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says that on the day of the judgment, a person, a servant of Allah, his feet would not be moved, meaning he's not going to go nowhere until he's asked about four things. His lifespan that Allah has given him or her, 40 years, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, more or less, will be asked, what did you do in that life? What did you do? You're a servant of Allah, what did you do? You know you're supposed to worship Allah, fulfill your obligations, along with other things, have any education and do other things. Now, you will be asked about that. And also the Prophet ﷺ said, and on his youth, when he was young. والشباب مرحلة من مراحل العمر ولكن خصها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالسؤال لأنها أهم المراحل. The ulama, they said that, keep in mind now, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he mentioned the lifespan, your life, and then he said also your youth, that stage when you were young, even though that stage is included in your lifespan. Why the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned it? The ulama, they said because of its importance. Because it's so important, this stage over here, when people are teenager and they're young, is very important. ثانياً, why we're talking about this topic and why we should talk more about it, not just when somebody waits until he's behind the mic. No, you can talk when you see the youth outside in a parking lot, in a coffee, in a mall. You talk to them. You talk to your children, to your niece, to your cousins, your nieces. You talk to them, your nephews, even your neighbors. You see a group of young men, teenagers, talking. I'm not talking about spying on them like some man, he's going to come like this and drop his ear. That's no good. No, go and give him salam. Salam alaikum. Allah, keep halkum. How you doing? MashaAllah. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khair. I hope, mashaAllah, you're talking about a hadith and ayah. And you will see the answer in their faces. If they were talking about the hadith and the ayah, they were like, oh yeah, mashaAllah, alhamdulillah, since you came here, mashaAllah, we were talking about this ayah. Like that. But if they were talking about music or sports or quote unquote some other stuff that they have no business be talking about, they're like, yeah, we're talking about the ayah. See, they can't even talk right. You will know that they weren't talking about no ayah. Because if they were talking about a hadith, as soon as he says, are you talking about a hadith? Oh yeah, mashallah, look, this hadith right here, mashallah, we were saying, it's beautiful hadith, but we're wondering if there is any explanation. But if they were talking about some other stuff, their face turn red. And they, some of them go like this. Someone will leave. That will tell you that they were talking about something else. But you're not a policeman, man. You're not an officer. You're not a detective. Oh yeah, you weren't talking about something? Tell me everything. No. Are you going to say, MashaAllah, Ikhwan, Jazakum Allah Khair? You have to have some hikmah, some wisdom, how to talk to them. Because if they don't like you anymore, they'll say, forget about it. They're not going to listen to you. The second reason why it's so important to address this issue, not just once a while, but all the time, كثرت أعداد الشباب. فقد أظهرت الإحصائيات العامة في أغلب المجتمعات أن نصف سكان تقريبا من الشباب. نعم, because of the numbers of the youth in every community, in every country and society. Look around you right now, right here now in this class. How many young brothers in here? Including me, of course, right? And my brother Abu, inshallah. Huh? We all young, right? But now we're talking about the teenagers, let's say, between the age of what? Huh? From 10, for example, until what? 22. Until, 22? Because you're 22? And you want to include yourself. How old are you? Yeah. I saw you're not young. Ah, okay, nice.
It's even like psychological. They say that you're missing something that makes you jump into make bad decisions, and your brain doesn't develop 100% until like your mid-20s.
Ah, sure.
That's why a lot of young people make bad decisions.
All right, well, he said that. I'm not saying that. MashaAllah. Jazakallah khair, Adam. Barakallahu feek. Alhamdulillah. All right, now if you look, the youth right here, maybe in a teenagers, 19, 20, 21, 22, 22 and a half, right? All right? There's a lot of them here. Maybe the majority here. Likewise, statistics, I don't know how accurate the statistics, but they say that there is a lot of young people on the earth. A lot of young people. There's a lot. Especially in the Muslim countries, there is a lot of youth. A lot of young people. Maybe in Europe and other countries, you know how they do that. Only two children. Or only one. And they have not. Now, I mean, some countries in Europe, they have more elderly than youth. That's why they bring the youth from other countries, from Asia, Africa, and others, to work in their countries. Why? Because they don't have much. The percentage of youth is not that great. But in Muslim countries, many Muslim countries, there's a lot of youth, ya akhwan. And also in Mexico and Guatemala and those too. There's a lot of young. That's why it's very important that this issue be addressed. Because those youth, as Adam said, they're not going to stay 20 and 19 for the rest of their lives. Right, Adam? Before you know it, he's 20, he's 31 now. He's 35. And he has to be prepared. Because the job and the responsibility a person he's 24, 25, 26 will have, it's not like when he was 14 and 15 or 16. 15, 16, he cared about nothing. He just wake up and Oh, when it matters to him, I'm going to eat something and dress up, alhamdulillah, get my clothing and this, have some money in my pocket. But when he's like 29, 26, 27, 25, now he starts thinking about, listen, I got to do those things. I got to get a place and get married, and I'm going to provide for food. I'm the one who's going to pay the bills now. Right or wrong? Zakaria, do you pay any bill of any color right now? Alhamdulillah, that's good for you. But 10 years from now, or 15 or 20 years from now, inshallah, if you're still alive, is it going to be the same? No. You're going to have your own place, mashallah. Maybe you have your own children. Because your father, Zakaria, he was 11 one day, right? Huh? No, Zakaria. Zakaria is 11 too, mashallah. You turned 12 yet? Oh, you're 12 now. Allahu Akbar. Couple days ago, I asked you, you say you're 11. A couple months. Anyway, see how things change, Ikhwan? It seems like I just talked to him a couple days ago and he told me he's 11. But maybe it's a couple months ago. Your father was 11. Ask him when. Long time ago. And he didn't have you when he was 11, did he? He didn't have you. And he was only in your age. His father used to pay the bills and his mother cooked for him. But now your father, he has to take care of you and Amir and Abdul Razak and Dispan, Abdullah and other people. That's only an example. So this is very important. Since this, we go back to the point that since they are in these great numbers, we have to take care of them. You don't just say they minority, couple, yo, get them over there. No, they young, they mini. Now you have to accommodate them. You have to prepare the path for them. As our brother Abdul Rahman, the 13 years old, we here. Okay, mashallah. As the brother Abdul Rahman, maybe he went to make wudu or something. Allahu a'lam. As he mentioned, he said, if you take good care of them and raise them up correctly, they're going to benefit you. And you don't have to worry about them. In other terms, they're not going to give you much trouble. They may still give you trouble. Right, Ahmed? Huh? Yeah. Alright. How do you know? it's known, right? It's mashallah. They're still going to give you some trouble, but not a lot. So therefore, it is very important as a community, we should address their issues, their concerns. Bisura khasa. In a very specific manner. We're not going to expect from the youth just to really adhere to the right path by just like from regular classes or regular general khutbas and topics. No, they have to address them. They have to have some program just for them. Alhamdulillah. So that they feel like, listen man, this is for me. Oh man, this lecture was for me. This khutbah was about us. This program is for us. This trip was made for us. Not like everything we do is for the elders, and the youth, they just come in with their parents. They feel like, man, for how long is it going to follow? It's coming. It's been dragged in. No, they have to have some programs for them. They feel like, I'm going to my program. I don't like to give example with sports. It's like a league. You the father, you play in this league, which is halal, alhamdulillah, good, only with the Muslims. But then you bring your child, your son, he's 11, he just come in with you. Or go kick some ball over there. He has no team, no. He look around, his peers are not there. Only grown-ups people. When he's 13, he still go kick the ball. By himself. Kicking the wall. What? But if you have a little league for them too, they get together and they play with each other, but supervised. Like in the community. It will be a beautiful thing. These are suggestions. It will be beautiful if maybe 5, 6, 7, 10 of us adults, if we have some time and we sit together. Don't wait until the imam does it, the imam of the community. How much things the imam has to handle? Phone calls every day. Divorce, marriage, this, dad, he has to prepare for Jumu'ah, for the classes, teach. There's a lot. But as a community, this is my, I suggest this. As a community, maybe 5, 7, 10 good brothers, alhamdulillah, they have some time, and they have patience with the youth, and they come together and they say, let's do something with our youth. Let's take them to the park, alhamdulillah, play some ball with them. And you know, the youth, they're going to go play, and they forget that this brother, he just prayed Asr with me in the masjid. And they must say, hey, you nobody, you don't know how to play. They start calling these other names. The older brother, he was like, la, hey, come here. Yeah, we're not playing here for trophy or championship. We're not like the kuffar. We're Muslims. We're playing for fun. No names. No nicknames. No fighting. You have to tolerate the mistakes of your brothers. If you're good at basketball, you may not be good in other sports. Or you may not be good in Quran and Arabic. Now you're making fun of this brother because he cannot throw the ball, but he's good in Quran. He memorized the Quran before you. See? And then you gotta respect this brother. He's 15, he's 11, he's 12, but he finished the Quran. Or he's almost finishing the Quran. You gotta respect him. The same way you respect him when he's leading the Taraweeh. Now just because he's coming here to play basketball, because he want to have some good time with you as his brother, now you want to disrespect him? Why don't you disrespect him when he was leading the Taraweeh in Ramadan? Now you were saying, oh, you respect him. SubhanAllah, that brother lead the Taraweeh? MashaAllah. How old is he again? 11. MashaAllah. I got respect. Same respect you give him whenever you see him in the street, in the marketplace, in a basketball game, in the park. And this way we're going to teach our children. We're going to spend some time with them. If we let them spend just time between them, mashallah, sometimes they may talk about good things, but a lot of other times shaitan is going to switch the script for them. Shaitan is going to come and start another topic for them. They may get together on, well, the Quran, mashallah, can you help me with this ayah? And then the shaitan have another program for them. And sometimes the shayateen are from the human being. Not just from the jinn, shaitan, from the human being. A person, another man that come from another community, they will now have no clue what Islam is or what Sunnah is or Quran. And he's going to have an impact on them and start talking about things that they like. Even though those things are haram. If there is none of us, the elders around them, then what do you think the result may be? Thirdly, the third thing from the things that make this topic so important, katratul fitan wal mughrayat. Why we should really, really address these topics and talk to our youth, not just whenever you are behind the mic, but whenever you may be. Find some time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Don't underestimate any time. And talk to them. I've seen it, alhamdulillah, some of the older brothers, mashallah, in this community and other community, I've seen it. They take the initiative and they spend some time with those youth. Your reward is great with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why it's so important to address these matters? Because of the fitan, the trials, tribulations. Because of the temptations, there are many in this time. Seduction, attractions. فَقَدْ كَثُرَتِ الْمُغْرَيَاتِ وَالْفِتَنْ فِي هَذَا الزَّمَانِ بِشَكْلٍ مُخِيفٍ وَمُرَوَّعٍ. نعم, the temptations and the seductions and the attractions and also the trials and the temptations are many these days. Are many. SubhanAllah, in our times are many. It's frightening indeed and terrifying. Yet is alarming, man. That should sound an alarm long time ago for us. حتى وصل الظن ببعض الشباب أن هذه الفتن والمحرمات أصبحت شيئا من المسلمات. These fitan are so many everywhere. Everywhere that 17, 16, 15 look around 13, he see fitan and trials and haram. But if nobody is talking to him and reminding him, it becomes normal. He becomes something, okay, it's alright. He becomes normal. Music becomes okay. For certain, music that is haram, they become okay from a lot of Muslim youth. And when you tell them music is haram, they make fun of you. Haram? What do you mean it's haram? Nothing wrong with it. So they get used to it. They get used to it. They lie. And you tell them, lying is haram. Lead to the hellfire. I pray. Come on, man. He become normal. This haram and major sins, they become normal to them. Well, because they see it happen in front of them every day. Whole day. At school, at the marketplace, when they drive in, when they go get the smoothie in the summer, when they with their parents fixing that flat tire, they see fit and what about if those fit are in the house? TV, movies, DVDs, mixing, mingling. فلهذا كان من الواجب علينا أن نقف أمام هذه الفتن ونفتح عوارها ونبين أخطارها. Because of this, it is very important for us to stand against these trials, these temptations. We have to expose them. We got to expose the defects and the faults and the danger actually contained in these temptations. The nafs wants everything. But we want to choose that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased for us. That's the right thing. رابعا الحقد الدفيء من أعداء الله والعمل على إفساد المسلمين بعامة والشباب بخاصة. Keep in mind that these trials and temptations and shahawat and music and women dressed in different ways and عياذ بالله and all these movies and DVDs and those websites and the internet that and all this and drugs and alcohol in every place and cigarettes and all this sports, all this, the Barca and Real Madrid and the Man United and all of them from the enemies of Islam. They come up with all of this together to turn the youth away from the Quran and from the Sunnah. A young man wants to read the Quran, but now he likes Barcelona now. The Barca is playing, what Quran he's gonna get? Even if his father says, you stay in here. His mind is not there, his mind is in Real Madrid. As an example, these are teams, soccer teams. That's why you find some children, they memorize Quran because they don't know these things. Especially when they were early in their age, even though they live in a corrupt environment. But since they were young, they have no interest in sports or in women or music. Inshallah. Give them any surah, next day they got it. They said, do you have another surah? Now take 17-year-old now, you're already listening to some music, you got some women in his mind, on his mind, and some friends talking only about dunya, I'm going to be somebody, I'm going to make a contract here. Now you want to tell them, come to the class. You're going to be difficult. Come memorize this surah. It's difficult. Why? Because his mind has something else. His heart is filled with something else. If you have a bucket that is empty, can you put stuff in it? Huh? Yes. We have space. If the bucket is filled, what can you put in it? Nothing. Until you empty it. Is emptying a bucket always that easy? You don't always have water in that bucket. You may have something cement. And you become some heavy. Very heavy. Likewise, as parents, as family members, as a community members, we have a great responsibility upon us. And sometimes we neglect the youth until they become corrupt and they did a lot of bad things. Now we want to do something about it. Sometimes it's late, but it's never too late. It's never too late. We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we turn to Him and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to help our youth in doing and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to be a better example for them. نعم تفضل.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا
Now, but keep in mind, Ya Akhwan, a reality, this is a reality, that, Alhamdulillah, even though some of the youth, they acting up in strange way, and they away from the masjid, and they may give their parents some hard time, start thinking in different ways, but a lot of them, because of the fitrah that Allah has created them upon, a lot of them, they nice people. Naam. Yes, they acting up and you may not see them in the masjid. Their parents, they want to come and see his child in the masjid. That teenager, but still, some of them have good hearts. Some of them are generous, Ikhwan. Wallahi, we've seen that. He shared with you what he has. Some of them he gave you. He has an apple in his hand, he give it to you. He has a banana, he offer. Akhi, you want this? We've seen them in restaurants. They eat in and they invite you. Some of them, you don't even know, they go and pay your bill. They're young. They're 16, 17, 18, 19. Yet, with all of the things they have, but they have some good manners with them. Some of them, you talk to them, they tell you, okay, I know my problems. I know I'm giving trouble or problem to myself, to my family. May Allah help me, okay, Allah, you're right. It's real when you find somebody who kind of come to you, man, don't talk to me. It's real. At least I'm talking from experience myself. From experience. Alhamdulillah, most of the youth that I talk to them, and some of them, they really, really are involved in some real stuff, man. Some serious trouble. But as soon as you keep talking to them and remind them of Allah, and the Akhirah, Yawm Al-Qiyamah, death, Jannah, the hellfire, wallahi, some of them, they cry. They're like, you're right, man. SubhanAllah, you're right. I agree with you, 100%. You're right, brother. I'm not supposed to be doing this. I'm not supposed to be giving up. I'm not supposed to be there or with those or here or that. لا شك أن هذه فضيلة. This is a good thing. This is something good about them. And that tells us about them, tells us something about them, that they have goodness in them. We just have to know how to stir it and how to use it. It's like that brick. You want to build, but you want to start somewhere. A long journey starts with one step. If you don't make that step, you ain't going nowhere. Likewise, not all the youth that they do something bad, that they corrupt and they evil. No, they're not. They just doing something bad because they were influenced, easily influenced by somebody. They were in a wrong spot, in the wrong time, with the wrong people. And we have to give them credits. When we talk to them, we say, man, I know you, Akhi, subhanAllah, you're a good brother, you're a good kid. Some of them, subhanAllah, they've been in the Quran, tahfidh. Yes, some of them, they almost finished the Quran until the shayateen took them away from the book of Allah. Shayateen, school at school. They get to know some people and tell them, Quran, come on, man, how much? 17 juz? SubhanAllah, man, you're a halim, you're a sheikh, man, 17 juz, that's it, man, that's all you need. Instead to encourage him, okay, that's it, 17, come on, alhamdulillah, you're almost there. Go ahead, brother. JazakAllah khair. Now I want to go with you. No, you don't go with us. Go. Quran, man. MashaAllah, we're supposed to be with you in tahfidh. But where are those people that like this? You got to find them. With the, what they call it? With what? Magnifier glass. And you got to look for them. And if you find them, you're going to hold on tight to them. And now, I don't want the youth to think like this brother, what are you talking about, man? He's like the youth, why? He's perfect? No, we're not perfect. I don't want you to think like, because I'm talking to you, you think like we the grown-up are perfect and we have no problems. We have issues too. We have issues. You gotta believe in this one. I don't want you to think like this brother, he's just talking about us, man, he's on us, but what about him? Yeah, we got problems too. Nah, I'm telling you like that. We're not angels. You think your parents or your grandparents are angels? No, we're not angels. And you know that. We have problems. We have issues too. We got issues. May Allah help us all. Nah, we sin. We wrong ourselves. We do things too. Walakin, however, what's actually inciting us and encouraging us to talk to you with the elders that are talking to you, the youth, هي المحبة, love for you, barakallahu feekum, because we love each other for the sake of Allah. We love you for the sake of Allah, and we love good for you that like we love it for ourselves. And we try to apply the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ when he says, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. We want to apply this deen, man. This hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, none of you achieved iman and complete the iman until he loved for his brother while he loved for himself. You're my brothers. I want good for you. And we want to apply this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. We love good for ourselves. We want to be in the Jannah, but we want it for you too. We love it for you. We want to be upright. And we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us and protect us from all evil. We want that for you too. So keep that in mind. We're talking about the issues. We're going to mention some of the problems of the youth. Some of us men, we did those things when we were young. And some of us have left those things. Some still struggling with those things. Keep that in mind. But just this talk is for you, the youth, but we benefit from it too. Believe me, I'm benefiting from this talk myself too. Now, if I ask you, and I want the youth to answer, and you're just answering because I want your participation, okay? You with me? I want your participation, inshallah ta'ala. If I ask you, what make the people in general, regardless their ages, but especially the youth and the teenagers, what make them sin and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether by neglecting some of the obligation like the salat, such as being kind and nice to the parents, to the neighbors, or by falling into some of the haram, such as listening to music, such as smoking or drinking alcohol, or such as backbiting, lying, fighting, Muslims stealing, disrespecting the parents, the neighbors, the elders, not reading the book of Allah, not listening to the speech of Allah, but rather they listen to the speech of the shaitan, music and the like. When all of this comes, sometimes it's worse, become to zina or iyadu billah. Youth are not practicing Islam. He has a Muslim name, Muslim family, yet sometimes came from a Muslim country, but still he's not practicing Islam. Where do you think these sins come from? What is the reason that made these people sin and commit sin? Naam.
Influence.
Naam. No doubt. But the tests are not. Allah tests us with things, but also He has made clear to us the path of good from the path of evil. So we're not going to blame it. Those who are sinful, blame it on the qadar of Allah. La. Now. The environment. What else? Naam, akhi. What's your name?
Muhammad.
Yes, the environment. Maybe your environment like not like his environment, right? Hasal. Now, what else? Naam. Huh?
Friends.
Friends. Naam. Amir.
Naim.
Naim. Who is Amir? Is Amir here? Fine. Wait, I don't see him. No, the other Amir, Naim's brother. MashaAllah. Maybe he went to make wudu too. MashaAllah. We think good of our brothers. Naam, Naim. The lack of knowledge of the deen. Naam, Akhi Yusuf. Following desires. Naam, we all have desires, okay? Not the only the youth. Naam, oh, here he is, Abdurrahman. Abdurrahman, right?
Yes.
You changed your spot. I was looking for you. Okay, go ahead, Abdurrahman.
Following the friends that influence you.
Ahsant. Easy influence by some friends. Naam, what else?
Thinking that they have more time to repent.
Oh. Now that's true. They said, listen man, we're still young, let's do it our way. Later on we will grow up, we say Astaghfirullah and we read Quran. Naam, who else? Naam, Ahmed.
Pressure.
Huh?
Pressure.
Pressure. Friends put pressure, right? Maybe the first time, now I'm not going to do it. But then pressure and he give up, huh? Allah musta'an. Naam. TV, no doubt. What else? Naam.
The immaturity.
Hey, naam. What else? Abdullah.
They don't really fear Allah.
Huh?
They don't really fear Allah.
They don't really fear Allah. Jazakallah khair. They fear Allah. They know. They heard of it, right? Every khutbah. Fear Allah. Fear Allah. Fear Allah. But what is the application? Naam.
Ignorance.
Naam. Naam. Naam, that's true. All of this, ikhwan, natijun anil ghafla an dhikrillah. Being heedless from the remembrance of Allah. That's the main cause for the corruption of the people. They be heedless, they don't remember Allah much. فَإِذَا غَفَلَ الشَّابُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ غَفَلَ عَنْ إِصْلَاحِ نَفْسِهِ. Whenever a young man or a young woman, they heedless from the remembrance of Allah, they don't remember of Allah, they don't remember Allah, I said, forget about it. That's where problems come. They cannot reform themselves and rectify themselves. فالغفلة عن ذكر الله هي بوابة المعاصي كلها. Being heedless and not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all time, this is the gateway to all sins. This is a straight line. Line that is linked to the sins. Once you stop remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you gotta remember somebody else. You gotta fall into sins. Being heedless, not remembering Allah in all your time, you're opening a door a huge gateway for shaitan. It's wide open. Shaitan sometimes he's looking for one little hole, a crack in the wall to go from it. But those who don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no remembrance of Allah, nothing, no subhanallah, no alhamdulillah, no adhkar of the morning, evening, no Quran, no salat on time, no masjid, and on top of that music, lying, sports, magazines, text messaging, lying, slandering. Now they opening the door for the shaitan. Wide open. Not just the shaitan, the shayatin of the jinn and the human being. What the shaitan would do if you invite the shaitan? Or would the shaitan come with what? The shaitan is an enemy to us. Anyone who's a try to worship Allah and try to be upright and try to be a believer and try to stay on the path, Delhi to the Jannah, the shaitan, he's going to be after that person. Now you inviting him, not the shaitan trying to find a way to get to you. He's like, man, come on in. You're inviting the shaitan to your hearts, to your life. And then what does the shaitan do in the heart of the one who is heedless? He has sold away a jewel. The shaitan, he can go through that person whenever he can come to him, whenever he wants. You know a house? If certain people, they left, and they didn't ask somebody to take care and look after their home, what happened after months or years to the house? People break into it, right or wrong? How they do? They don't have the keys, what they do? They break the door. Some others break windows. Then later on, other people, they pass by and they see the door is broken, is open. They may not go. Next week, next month, they're like, man, ain't nobody here. Because if somebody was here, they could have fixed it long time ago. Then they go there. What people usually, the weak people, the wicked, and the criminals, what they do in homes like that? First of all, they take everything that have a value, right? And then they hang in there and they do bad things. Because the door is open. And nobody has closed it. Now, if you open the door for the shaitan is going to come at you and am at you and am at you unless you close that door. And the shaitan bring nothing. He want to destroy you in this life. Don't you see those people who don't remember Allah, where they end up? The people who spend most time in the streets, where they end up? They end up learning bad things. And some of them end up where? In jail. Other people end up where? Mental hospitals, because whatever happened to the man, they lose it. Some of them have... Huh? Some of them, they end up homeless because nobody wants them. Their parents don't want them. Their cousins don't want them. The aunties don't want them. Nobody wants them. They're troublemakers. They end up homeless. And some of them end up where? Dead. Dead, yes. Man, we live in America, brothers and sisters. At least if we live somewhere else, they're like, what are you talking about? Man, we live in America. Maybe this stuff are not happening, alhamdulillah, here in the south as much as in the north. But alhamdulillah, may Allah protects our community and protects our youth. Ameen. But this is what happened. Shaitan will destroy a person this life before the hereafter. Why? Because that person, that young man or that young girl, they are not checking their hearts properly. Can you imagine you have a car? And you just keep driving that car. You never bother of checking the oil or anything. Especially if the car gives you signs. Start smoking. Smoke coming out of the car. You're still driving. Somebody says, "Akhi, smoke." Ah, it's normal. This is a Japanese car, right? What do you mean Japanese car? That's a smoke. The car is smoking. So you got to check it. Way wrong. Now the car is driving normal, but one day you hear tak 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 tak. What do you do usually? gotta check it. If you know how to check it, you do the job. If you're not a mechanic, what you do? You ask and take it to someone who knows. Likewise, you. Otherwise, what's going to happen if you don't do this? Huh? It'll break down. And that's negligence. Likewise. You see yourself being good, alhamdulillah, you've been memorizing the Quran, been in the masjid consistently, but all of the sudden you see yourself, or you're feeling, you have this feeling in you, inside of you that we don't know of, and you have these feelings, now, why I gotta go to the masjid? Why I gotta go to the Quran class? Why I gotta go to this class? Why can't I go and spend some time with my friends at 11 p.m.? No? Remember, 11 p.m. Why I can't talk to this or to that? Why I can't have this material in the house? Why? That's an indication that something wrong is going on with you. Try to fix it if you don't talk to those who can help you. So if you know that your car, a car that is just steel, metal, the engine, needs mutaba'a, examination, and you have to have the observation, because if something wrong, you know, oh, something wrong, this car never acted like this. The smoke shouldn't be coming from the engine, never did. What about your heart? You start thinking about certain different ways. You start saying bad words. Your intentions towards your family, your father and mother, stepfather, stepmothers, those who are so nice to you and you know that, and you were nice to them, now all of a sudden you become to think like, man, they're my enemies. They're against me. They don't want to help me. They don't want good for me. That's an indication that you're going some true problems. You got to do something about it or talk to those who can help you. Because that person that you're talking about, she's the same mother that care about you and love you. Now you start having some feeling towards her, she's still your mother. He's still your brother. And he's still your father. That care about you, want good for you. Just now because his statements doesn't fall on your heart like the same way 10 years ago or 4 years ago or last month. You gotta do something about it. So if cars need to change and check them and fix and repair, the heart too need to be fixed, to be examined, to be checked continuously. Have you checked your heart lately? Alhamdulillah. Naam. What fixed the heart? The remembrance of Allah. What is the repair for the hearts? Is the remembrance of Allah. The Quran. Sometimes you find some youth and us, elders as well, we don't read the Quran days, weeks, nothing, not even a half page. And where are we going to get this righteousness? The Quran is guidance. The Quran is light. The Quran is a cure. Is the cure for the hearts. That's the real medicine. That's the real cure. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Yunus, in verse 57-58, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ نَعْمَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ أَتْمِمِ الْآيَةِ قُلْ. You're with me? Okay, I'm going to say the ayah again. And I want you to finish it. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِدَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Speaker.
وَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةٌ
لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. عبد الرزاق.
قل بفضل الله.
عبد الله. زكريا قل بفضل الله. قل بفضل الله عبد الرزاق. أحسنت. You guys got to do some reviewing, man. وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا هو خير مما يجمعون. Listen to the translation of this verse. Of this verse is actually Surah Yunus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O mankind, there has come to you a good advice from your Lord, this Quran, enjoining all that is good and forbidding all that is evil. And a healing, the Quran also is a healing for that disease of ignorance, doubt, hypocrisy, and differences which is in your breasts. And also the Quran is a guidance and a mercy, explaining lawful and unlawful things for the believers. Say in the bounty of Allah and in His mercy, meaning Islam and the Quran, therein let them rejoice. This is better than what the wealth they gather. SubhanAllah. You find some of us, and now since we're talking about the youth, difficult for them to read the Quran. Hard on their hearts. Let's go to the class. SubhanAllah. It's difficult. Difficult. Days go by, he don't come to the masjid. Days go by, no Quran recited or listened to it. Nothing. He read no books of aqidah, tawheed, hadith, manners, nothing. But he cannot wait one day from what? From listening to the music, wal'iyadu billah. He can listen to that every day. Music every day. Morning, evening, afternoon, while he's eating, while he's driving. He cannot read anything, check the sports, who win, who lose, who this, who that. Right or wrong. These are only examples. Other people, they have different things, man, they afflicted with different things. Can wait one moment. If somebody call him and say, hey, you know what Barcelona did today? He's like, what? I can't tell you. Click. He's like, oh man, you didn't tell me. And he feel like, man, why didn't you tell me? He get mad at him when he see him. Why didn't you tell me, man? The game is on. They may call him until the game is over. Why didn't you call me and remind me? But for the class, does he feel the same way? If somebody comes, Akhi, mashallah, we're just coming from a class. What class? We have a class. Akhi, why didn't you tell me about the class? Now you're calling me after it's over? Who amongst all you do this? If they do it, they good. That's a good sign for them. And that's the way it should be. It shouldn't be the other way around, man. We should be mad when we miss the opportunity to learn something or to read the Quran. A day go by, I'm like, SubhanAllah, I didn't read nothing. I didn't learn anything. SubhanAllah. But we get mad if some dunya go by and we didn't get a piece, a stinky piece of it. Now we shouldn't be that way. We're Muslims. And if we are those people, let us say to ourselves, that's it. Just gotta stop. I gotta change my way around. I'm gonna do what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm gonna be and amongst those who worship their Lord. Those who wants to stay focused on the path that leads to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We continue tomorrow, inshaAllah ta'ala. Hope to see all of you. And if you can bring more people, inshaAllah ta'ala, with you tomorrow for the benefit. Jazakumullah khairan. Since tomorrow, inshaAllah, we're going to give some advice also for the parents. We're going to continue talking to our beloved youth. That were our youngsters, our youth, inshaAllah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect them and from all evil and from temptations. But we grown-ups, we have to make ourselves available to listen to them, to their concerns, to be patient with them, to spend some time with them, inshaAllah ta'ala. And we have to conduct ourselves in a manner that is pleasing to Allah, because they look up to us. Inshallah ta'ala. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.